you go.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is, well, one second here. Hopefully this is the right outro. Let's see. Yep. All right. Sorry. I was setting up some sounds because, as you might have noticed yesterday, if you tuned in, my sound files were missing or corrupted, so I had to change that. It is 1901 UTC on... Oh, wow! Three fighter jets are flying over right now. They're in a triangle formation. Like, there's an LB formation. Wow! Sorry, I did not expect that. There is an Air Force base to the south of us here in down near San Antonio, and yeah, those are like F-14s or F-16s, whatever. They were like fighter jets. That was really cool. Anyway, it's 1901 UTC here in beautiful Austin, Texas. You're listening to News to Me, and it is January the 25th, 2023. If you want to hang out and chat during the show, you can do like I'm doing right now, SSH over to sdf.org. And then once you're there, go ahead and launch COM by typing C-O-M. And you press enter and type G for go to and type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. And boom, you will land in the Anon Radio room with the cool people like X1. Come on, let's get that plus plus in here. Ah, crud, I hit a button. I hit a button on my terminal, and now my backspace is wrong. Oh, no. All right, here we go. I think this should be back to my heart. Shout out to X1, Ratsu. Stag, and Claudio M. Everybody hanging out in comm. Sorry if my rollback missed you. I sat down in a different place on the roof trying to get less air on... hey, and Zoroff. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, I was really surprised by the jets. That was pretty cool. Let me get Stug in here. I'm trying to do my pluses right now before I forget. I'm sitting in a different spot on the roof. In this spot, I'm on the ground, but I'm out of the wind. There's real strong wind right now. But I wanted to go from the roof because I miss seeing the sky. I don't see the sky a lot. And I don't know if it's because of my weight or just my age, but I have a lot more... what is it? The stuff that you call floaters. Like, there's shit in my eyes. And so I like to come up here and look at the sky while I can, because I feel like, you know, not too long, I won't be able to look at it clearly. So, anyway, trying to appreciate it. Memories are fickle, though. Oh, man, that wind is cold. So, yeah. So, anyway, what's going on is that we got news. We got news today. And so let's get into it.
World news.
Oh man. Oh, Stug points out it's always good if a jet passes by and nothing drops out. 100%. But from my hiding place, the security guards here, they used to have to drive Priuses all the time. Well, the security company gave them trucks, so now they have little 4-cylinder, 3-cylinder trucks, these little Colorado looking trucks, and those trucks, they love them, but what they like to do is drive up to the roof or drive somewhere and then park and idle. Just let the gas run, which is, I think, probably bad for the environment. But they love to do it. They drive, you know, probably thousands of miles a year just around the campus. Anyway, that's not world news. That's hyper-local news that I'm just bitching about. I'm sorry. I'm just in a mood. I get in a funk sometimes. That's all right. Let's go ahead and get into our world news. There's thankfully not. It's a slow news day. Oof. That wind, it feels extra cold because it's 11 degrees C out here. And I'm sitting in the shade, so I'm not sure how what the proper temperature is. But anyway, I'm sorry if you're also wearing headphones and you're hearing this wind too loud. All right. Hey, it's the 25th. Where's my... Come on, you. Close. Got to restart Firefox. Oop. Bookmarks. Well, I have to try again to get my Firefox to sync. Oh man, this wind noise is killing me. All right. Done. Bookmarks. Sorry, this is bad. This is really bad news. Bad radio. Really bad radio. All right, here we go. So first, an update to a domestic story because, yeah, I fudged up. The airport worker who got sucked into that jet, it actually was a woman. Her name was past tense, Courtney Edwards. The report doesn't name the killed worker, but according to local news website AL.com, the union that represents her identified her as Courtney Edwards. So what exactly happened? You won't believe this. They were warned repeatedly about the dangers of going near the plane. The Montgomery Regional Airport employee, along with other colleagues of the facility's ground crew, underwent a safety huddle about how to move around the plane at the center of the case 10 minutes before it arrived at the gate. There was another similar briefing just before the aircraft arrived at the gate. Okay, so two security briefings within like 15 minutes of each other. The pilots of the American Eagle jet had decided to leave the plane running at the airport gate for a cool-down period of 2 minutes because an auxiliary power unit on board wasn't working, and the engines needed to stay on until the plane could be linked up to a power source on the ground. According to the report, pilots of the plane alerted airport workers that the engines would stay on for a time. The American Eagle manual warns ground crew to stay at least 15 feet back from the front of an engine until its blade stops spinning. The airport crew also had two safety huddles where they were told to not go by the plane until the engines turned off, and rotating beacons on the plane warned employees that engines were still firing. The employee who was ultimately killed received one more warning to stay back from a coworker after nearly getting knocked over by exhaust from the jet. Nonetheless, the admonished employee soon walked in front of one of the engines. The employee was sucked into the engine and killed. Coworkers described hearing a bang as the engine shut down, and the pilot said they felt the plane shake violently before they realized what happened. So, hey, Claudia, howdy. I don't know. I thought there was a show coming up, but there was also an email about maybe not doing a show. So, I don't know. Oh no! Thank you, X1, for pointing that out. I wonder why they're going to XCon. I guess we should make a request and requests on B-board. To see if they could please somehow get sent to Com. Apparently new users are being sent to XCOM, and there are a few other variants of Com apparently floating around, which is very strange, because I've always only known about the non-radio room and Com being the place to be. Okay, so anyway, that's what's going on there, I guess. All right, so 11 terrorists killed, 6 arrested.
Come on.
Hate it when ads pop up. 11 terrorists killed, 6 arrested. Niger's army, which I guess is the... It looked like they misspelled Nigerian, but it's, I guess, the Nigerian army. Army on Tuesday said it had killed 11 terrorists and captured 6 last week in a restive region plagued by insurgents linked with Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State group. Operations in the western Talabari region near Burkina Faso also saw weapons seized and more than 130 motorcycles destroyed, Niger's defense ministry said in a weekly bulletin. So, a little bit of an update on the war on terror over there, which is still going on. There's still a lot of terrorist groups running around. Just, they're not attacking the United States these days, so we don't hear about them as much. And in South Africa, the energy crisis has gotten a little bit more depressing. South Africa's funeral parlor industry is feeling the pinch as small and big-scale mortuaries are experiencing the rise in maintaining cold room temperatures due to ongoing electricity blackouts. The South African Chamber of Undertakers chairman, Nala Bimbi, says parlors are spending around $40 per day to power generators, and the organization believes government needs to offer subsidies to cover the cost of diesel. Load shedding has been catastrophic for the funeral industry, and it's become very expensive to keep human remains because we have to pay for electricity and buy diesel. At a funeral parlor in Johannesburg, founder of Ndoda Funeral Services, Leon Machiza, says due to the long periods of blackouts, they are spending more money on embalming services in order to keep bodies from decomposing. When the fridges are not operating and working well, we are now faced with embalming bodies. It brings more costs. With load shedding, it's making life more difficult for us. Meanwhile, the ordinary South Africans on the street believe that with some funeral parlors struggling to keep human remains from decaying due to blackouts, communities will now have to look into shortening the burial process in order to prevent more damage to the corpse. I think it's better to bury someone who passed on after 2 days because the concern is that the ice keeping them from decaying is now going to melt. I think we need to consider burying our people as soon as they are confirmed dead because load shedding is not making it easy for funeral parlors. So, be very interesting. I would hate to wake up in a coffin somewhere, but I would also hate that they went to bury me and I was just like a puddle of goo. Let's see. Ratsu pointing out, new users have room name equals XCOM in their .com RC for some reason. That is weird. So yeah, check your .com RC. If you're a new listener or you're new to Anon Radio and you are having trouble or you're not able to join .com, not the right .com anyway, check your .com RC and use the man page for .com to update your .com RC file to how you like it. All right, let's keep it moving. It is 1913. We've only made it a few stories in. Mostly my fault. Sorry about that. A Tanzanian ship has overturned. A Tanzanian cargo ship sank Tuesday in a jetty in the southern Iranian port of Asuleya, state media reported. The official IRNA news agency said the vessel named Anil overturned because containers on it were configured incorrectly at the dock. The port has more than 24 piers. IRNA said rescue teams transferred the ship's crew to safety, but it didn't elaborate. Iran and Tanzania do less than $100 million in trade a year. The port is the main hub for shipment of gas and petrochemicals produced in Iran and is located about 940 kilometers south of the capital. Iran's imports and exports have slowed due to banking and oil sanctions imposed by the U.S. After Donald Trump pulled out of the American nuclear deal between Iran and the world powers. I read an interesting story. I don't have it for us today because it's a bit long, but BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, that BRIC group, that is a group of countries that are working together, kind of allying, because they're struggling with dealing with America and lending through the West, you know. But a lot of other smaller countries are also interested in dealing with that as joining the bloc and working together. So it'll be very interesting to see because Iran really only, the only way that, how do I want to say it, the United States imposes its will on a lot of countries because it's the reserve currency. and it has nuclear weapons. But anyway, we're willing to send troops to your house. Anywho, I just thought that was kind of interesting because Iran's having trouble. All right. We were speaking about embalming, and then we talked about power cuts. So it's only fair, I guess, to talk about a combination of the two. China's COVID losses are mounting so fast that coffin workers are overloaded. The BBC has found evidence of considerable number of COVID-related deaths in China's rural regions as the virus spread from big cities to more remote areas with older populations. In Xinjiang region of northern Shanxi province, the coffin makers have been busy. We watched the skilled craftsmen as they carved elaborate decorations into the freshly cut wood. Over recent months, they say they haven't had time to stop. One villager, a customer, told us that at times the coffins have sold out. Laughing with a dose of the black humor you find in the area, he added that those in the funeral industry have been earning a small fortune. There has been much debate about the real number of COVID deaths after the virus ripped through megacities. Some 80% of the population, more than a billion people, have been infected since China scrapped restrictions in December, according to leading epidemiologist Wu Zunyo. Last weekend, China reported 13,000 deaths in less than a week, adding that 60,000 deaths it had counted since December. But these deaths have been in hospitals. In rural areas, there are only sparse medical facilities, and those who die at home are mostly not being counted. There is not even an official estimate for the number of village deaths, but the BBC found evidence that the death toll is mounting. Sorry, drinking. I've got some sparkling yerba mate tea. Clean Cause tea. It's a brand of flavored tea. But after drinking, I bought and drank some yerba mate, just the tea itself. I'm fairly certain that they shove so much sweetener in this stuff. It says sugar, 8 grams. Oh, okay. There's 16 grams in this 16 ounces. So a gram of sugar per ounce. That's how they make it palatable, I guess. Anyway, I'm sorry. Today's show's off the rails. My comm even lost track. My comm even dropped out. Oh, what a world. What a world. Anyway, sorry. Let's get back on track. Let's launch a comm. Push R to make sure I didn't miss anything. Petey Boy, hello. Oh, the wind is cold. I should have gone to my car. is XCOM to replace PCOM? Okay, so there's different. Those are the two different comms. PCOM, XCOM, just regular com. It's all an adventure. It's all a question mark. I don't know what's happening. Is anything new with that? I don't think so. But I do want to mention, you are listening to Anon Radio powered by SDF. SDF is a public access Unix system, and it's powered by its members. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of SDF and the community. Please stick around at 1930 UTC is the Dubious Gold Committee with Tope, a show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. If you're in comm, you can press the equal sign to see the schedule. You can also type Anon Radio at the command prompt or go to anonradio.net where you might be listening to this. To see the schedule. Sorry about the wind noise. I'm up on the roof doing the news. All right. I don't want history. We need bookmarks. We got more news to do. China tells the United States, cope with your own debt. I love it. The Chinese government says the United States should stop pressuring Beijing on debt relief for Zambia and focus on averting a government default at home, which could have repercussions for the global economy. The biggest contribution that the U.S. can make to the debt issues outside the country is to cope with its own debt problem and stop sabotaging other foreign countries. Active efforts to solve their debt issues, the Chinese embassy in Zambia said in a statement on Tuesday. The U.S. government has a cap of $31.4 trillion on how much it can borrow, and it reached that limit last Thursday. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen implemented extraordinary measures to ensure the U.S. government can continue paying its bills in the short term, and then travel to Africa. On a visit to Zambia, she said it was crucial for the country to address its heavy debt burden. The country failed to make a $42.5 million bond payment in November 2020, becoming Africa's first sovereign nation to default during the pandemic. It's taken far too long already to resolve this matter, Yellen said on Monday. Washington is trying to woo African nations as the influence on the continent of its rivals Russia and China grows, which are the RNC and those BRIC countries I was talking about. During her visit to Africa, which also included Senegal and South Africa, Yellen pushed to expand U.S. trade and business ties. The United States is all in on Africa and all in with Africa, Yellen said on Friday in Dakar, as she touted the fruits of a new mutually beneficial U.S. economic strategy towards Africa. Responding to Yellen, China zeroed in on the battle between Republican lawmakers and the president over raising the debt limit to allow more borrowing. And who are they borrowing from? Well, you guessed it, themselves. Don't worry. All right, let's see what's going on in Kong. Let's see. Somebody should create ComCom and achieve full comception. You know, like in PCOM, you can flush without a second. Oh, okay. Doofus room will be created as soon as somebody with a room name equals Doofus launch XCOM or type COM. CCOM. How would that get into a new user's COM? Let's see. You guys know about COM Prime? Oh, man. Gosh. Well, that's very frustrating. Hopefully we'll get COM figured out. I feel like COM is a very quirky and particular SDF. It's one of those closed source things that just works. Gives SDF a little bit of flavor. You can taste the tannins. All right. We've got about 8 minutes to go, so let's keep on moving. In Uganda, they've started drilling oil. What? In Uganda, they're drilling their own oil as opposed to a third-party national company like the Dutch Shell Oil Company. Oil drilling began on Tuesday in a Chinese-operated field in Uganda. Excuse me, it's a Chinese company. According to government officials, the East African country expects to start production by 2025. The China National Offshore Oil Corporation, or CNOOC, operates the field. It's an exciting moment for us as a national oil company, but also an exciting moment for us as a country, because there's been a great fatigue within the country on when first oil will come out. Today is not first oil, but it certainly is a big step in the right direction. It's the day when we are commissioning the drilling of the wells that will lead us to commercial production. CEO of Uganda National Oil Company, Proskovia Nabanja. The authorities also announced the start of the construction of the oil pipeline between Uganda and Tanzania. Oil from Kingfisher will go northwards, 50 kilometers to Kabale, as will the oil from the Tilinga development, which will come south 100 kilometers to Kabale, which is starting point for the EACOP, East African Crude Oil Pipeline. They will be transported onwards to Tonga, where it can then be exported to world markets. So Kingfisher, Tilinga, and EACOP are going to work hand in glove. Very cool. Ratsu, what's Ratsu got? Hey, Akka, welcome. Sorry, I'm the sun has come out, and so now it's hitting my phone. It's making it harder for me to read the news and COM and everything. I don't know. I kind of wish I could have just stayed home in bed, but no. Nay, we must come to work. The good thing about it being cold outside is your drink doesn't get cold as it's sitting outside. All right. I think these two stories are kind of intertwined, so I'll share them with you, tech-related. First, they're 25. They don't do emails. Is instant chat replacing the inbox? Bosses at Davos say direct messaging can be more efficient for Gen Z employees, but email still has a role. Could emails go the way of the fax machine and Rolodex? They have not joined those workplace dinosaurs yet, but there's signs of evolutionary change at the annual gathering of business leaders in Davos this week, where tech bosses said emails were becoming outdated. The chief executive of the IT firm Wipro, WIPRO, which employs 260,000 people worldwide, said about 10% of his staff don't even check one email per month, and that he used Instagram and LinkedIn to talk to staff. They're 25. They don't care. They don't go on their emails. They go on Snapchat. They go on all these things. Said Terry Delaporte, Anjali Sood, the chief executive of video platform Vimeo, said at the summit emails were outdated. Delaporte's comments, reported by the Daily Telegraph, referred to Gen Z professionals, typically people born after 1997, but according to one UK business owner, it cuts across all generations. If I want something done quickly, I rarely rely on email, says Farad Devacha, owner and managing director of London-based digital marketing agency AccurateCast. I tend to send a Teams message or even WhatsApp if it's really urgent. I might send an email with details. Oh, that wind. Sorry, I don't know where the microphone is on these headphones. I'd cover it. If you want something done quickly. Which makes this next story all the more troubling because Microsoft is currently, was investigating, I guess we should say, a network issue causing an outage of apps like, you guessed it, Teams and Outlook. Microsoft said on Wednesday afternoon that it was probing a networking problem that caused an outage of its services, including Teams and Outlook. The tech giant said at around 4 p.m. that users may not be able to access several Microsoft 365 services and that it's troubleshooting a potential network issue. Microsoft added it had received reports that the outage had affected 365 apps, including SharePoint Online, OneDrive for Business, and Microsoft Graph. Many of these apps are an integral part of daily operations of schools and businesses. Excuse me. Another reason why the cloud is bad, it's just somebody else's computer. And even Microsoft can't keep their computers up. Microsoft didn't disclose the number of users that were affected by the disruption, but data from outage tracking site Down Detector showed thousands of incidents reported globally, with a surge of reports after 2 p.m. This is in Singapore time. Mr. Wang Zhen Yang, 37, said he had to find ways to work around the outage as it occurred during a presentation. Mr. Wang, who works in a toy manufacturing firm, said the Teams app suddenly couldn't display a few functions, so I couldn't share my screen with my teammates to show some of the numbers. The outage caused some delays because it was quite hard to describe the presentation, so I sent the charts to them in an email. Twitter was rife with memes and complaints from users who were unable to complete work tasks. And some of them are... Nope, none of them are funny enough to share. Let's check in on com. Akka says, don't email Gen Z. Amen. Send them TikToks. Ramen. So many InfoSec concerns. Yeah, they're off for sure. DMs are just more efficient unless it's that dumpster fire known as MS Teams. Yeah. I would just say the thing that I don't like is I'm fine with instant messaging at work, but use a secured messaging client. Like use your internal messaging tool. I don't know, we used to have an IRC server at work, but we got rid of that when we switched over to a messaging service that we run internally, but we just all have this app and we message locally internally. So anyway, I just think anytime someone's like, oh yeah, we just do work over WhatsApp, it's like, oh no, what are you doing? We've only got a couple minutes to go. So just the last thing to tell you, the United States and Germany have decided to send tanks on over. The United States is sending Abrams tanks, and Germany is sending Leopard 2 tanks. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has agreed to send Leopard 2 battle tanks. The news comes amid reports Washington is also sending dozens of M1 Mike 1 Abrams tanks to Ukraine's front lines. Like Germany, the United States had been hesitant. While Berlin was concerned about escalating the war, Washington cited logistical and maintenance challenges Ukrainians may face if they were to receive the Abrams. Both armored vehicles are considered state-of-the-art and are more powerful. The Leopard and American Abrams are actually twins, Sidney Freeberg, contributing editor of the digital magazine, told Al Jazeera. Breaking Defense told Al Jazeera. Leopard 2 was first produced in 1979 by Krauss Maffei of the German Ministry of Defense. They're in the service of the armies of Austria, Canada, Chile, Denmark, Finland, Greece, Germany, the Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Singapore, Switzerland, Sweden, Spain, and Turkey. Jeepers, creepers, they're everywhere. They are heavily armored tanks. So yeah, anyway, that's all the time we got for today. Hang out, listen to the Dubious Goals Committee, and I'll be back tomorrow. I'll probably be in my car, though, because it's cold.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow.
7.